This is F1 Debrief. Do I really sound like Fisichella? Coming up this week, we discuss the photo breakaway, plenty of fun at Silverstone, plus a little bit of racing.
Hello to Scott in Italy and sidepostpodcast.com. That's normally an F1 site, but for the next couple of days, focusing sensibly on Le Mans. And hello at sidepostpodcast.com, who have been tweeting and live commenting on the race. Seems that Frank Montelli and Sebastian Bourdais are the favourites there.
Sebastian Bourdais? Frank Montelli? Who are these people?
Not Le Seb, definitely Montagny. That is really, really cool.
I think our name precedes us now.
Sidepostcast. What is this? It's not that hard to say.
Twice. Love it. Welcome to Sidepostcast.
Yeah. Welcome along.
Love starting with a shout out. And we did. We live commented Le Mans for 24 hours. We said we would.
Yep.
We ran shifts to stay up for the whole 24 hours, but we actually made it.
Yep. And it was great fun. Frank came second. Boo.
Yeah.
But Peugeot did win, so it's all good.
And thanks to everybody who came along to support, because we asked for support from the listeners to come along and egg us along and give us some encouragement, and they did. They came in droves and they said keep it up, and we certainly attempted to, and I think it was a great race.
I tell you what, along with getting shout outs on Radio Le Mans, I was also on BBC Tees again on Saturday.
You are everywhere.
I know. Rob Smedley was on Friday, I was on Saturday, and I think Rob's going to be on again on Monday, so I'm in a Rob sandwich.
Good week, bad week.
Good week, bad week this week is really easy. It's been a good week for FOTA and a bad week for the FIA. Job done.
Well, that's it.
Yeah.
That's all we're going to attempt. Come on, more than FOTA. And Formula One is about... Come on, Formula One is about more than FOTA.
You want me to do it properly?
Yeah.
Okay. It's been a good week for iPhone or iPod Touch users, as the new official F1 app is amazing. I think a couple of people in the comments are getting a bit annoyed at the Apple love. But the thing is, this is innovation from Bernie.
Not from Bernie, actually. Well, he agreed to it.
Yeah.
It's official, but I don't think it's Bernie's idea.
It's good when it works. We'll probably do a full review next week when we know we've used it for a whole weekend and we can figure out what's good and what's bad.
Yeah. Had you asked me yesterday, I would have said it was the best thing since sliced bread, and it's a must buy because it was flawless in qualifying. However, it did completely fall on his backside during the race. And so there are issues to be resolved with it. But you're right. It's amazing.
It's been a bad week for Campos Racing, as Pantano has said he would like to team up with them and join F1 next year. As a bit of backstory for this, Pantano had a chance already in F1 with Jordan, I think, but he was replaced by Glock mid-season. He raced for Campos in GP2, then switched teams and won the championship. Then he moaned and moaned and moaned that despite being a winner, no F1 teams even picked up the phone to him. Doesn't he get the feeling that he's just not very good?
I think the problem is he's probably passed it. Didn't he call Bernie? Bernie was trying to sort him out a drive.
Yeah, he called Bernie and said, "No one's called me. It's so unfair."
I wonder what Bernie's ringtone was when that happened.
It's been a good week for Ferrari, as they have topped one of the most nonsense surveys I've ever heard. For some reason, 8,000 university students in Sweden were asked where they'd like to get a job when they graduate. And apparently, Maranello was the top choice because, quote, "it has all the characteristics young people are looking for, creative, innovative and stimulating work and a friendly working environment." That's really weird. I'd say I'd work there because Rob's there. It's been a bad week for Donington, as Bernie has finally admitted that if it isn't ready on time, then the racing will return to its rightful home at Silverstone. I have to say, I was starting to think there wouldn't be a British GP at all. I never thought it'd be at Donington in time, but Bernie seems to have got over his spat with Silverstone for now.
Right, so can we now charge Bernie with bringing the sport into disrepute? Because clearly he's lied to us, he's lied to the fans, he's lied to everybody. He said he's not coming back to Silverstone many, many times. There are many articles and many quotes from the man saying it's Donington or bust. And it was all an absolute tissue of lies.
What I like is that everyone on sidepodcast.com knew that it wasn't going to happen.
Well, we've always said it right since the beginning. And just wait until Silverstone is announced on the 2010 calendar. And we were going to find all of those comments out right since the beginning. All of the voicemails we've got, everything that's been written about Donington not happening. We're going to just drag it all up and make a huge montage.
News and views.
Late on Thursday night, about midnight, I think, I was rudely awakened to find that FOTA had done the unthinkable. They had issued a press release confirming their intention to form a breakaway series. Now, I won't quote any of the press release because if I start, I'd want to read the whole thing. It's basically just one giant dig at Bernie and the FIA, saying that FOTA are going to do things the right way. Accessible racing, better media coverage, cheaper tickets, going to the right circuits, all the things the fans want.
Well, that all sounds good. I mean, clearly we're not going to have any objections to that at all. I do wonder whether it's actually possible what they're suggesting, because I mean, none of these guys really have commercial experience of running a championship like this. And what they've essentially done is put down a bullet point list of everything that people would like to hear and then written it out in a press release.
It's very easy to say, well, this is what everyone's been asking for, let's do that. But they might just be saying it to get the fans on side.
Do the numbers add up?
Max thought about it, and during Friday, he issued a statement saying that FOTA were trying to take something that wasn't theirs, i.e. control of Formula One, and therefore he would start legal proceedings against them. Also, he said the 2010 entry list is frozen and not confirmed yet. So we're at another halt again, and the longer it goes on, the more screwed the new teams are.
The longer it goes on, the happier I think FOTA will be, because FOTA can afford to hold out in a legal war. They can afford as many lawyers as they need, and they can delay Max as long as they want. So a delay is all FOTA have ever wanted. And in that sense, they've completely achieved their aims.
During the race weekend at Silverstone, Max was pretty confident the breakaway wouldn't happen, but several of the teams are sure it would, obviously. And even though we are yet again at a stalemate, I am glad of this news.
Yeah, it was getting... how bad was the vibe, really, last week? Was it last week when we were just commenting and just trying to think of anything to talk about other than Formula One? This is a Formula One website, and we just did not want to talk about it in any way, shape, or form. So it was a bit of a surprise. We knew the meeting was happening on Thursday night at the Renault factory. Did not expect this announcement to come, but very glad that it did.
It makes me happy because it's not, he said this, she said that, he said this, she said that. It's news that raises thoughts and questions. Oh, so many questions.
Ha! Yeah. Millions of questions. That's going to be a long show if we cover those kind of questions.
Yeah.
And also, at the moment, we only know what, you know, we know what FOTA wants us to hear, and we know what the FIA wants us to hear, but we don't know too much in terms of detail right now.
And we don't really know what's going to happen next. I guess they'll get as far as the legal proceedings.
Good question. I don't know where we're going to go from here. You could go in any direction. I mean, it may be that Max says there's a compromise that's just around the corner, and he thinks it's going to happen reasonably quickly. On the other hand, FOTA, they're not too convinced. They really, really, really want Max out of the FIA. And unless he goes, I don't see this ending anytime soon. So it's going to be more drawn out, more battles, more protracted arguments, more press releases, and more criticism and complaints in the press.
Yeah, so it's a bit hard to cover the subject in too much detail because we still don't know what's happening. But the one thing I would say is that if there is a breakaway, so podcast is going where Max isn't.
This question's come up a lot, actually. Would we support two series? Would we try and cover both? What happens if the races happen on the same day? And that kind of thing. And whatever happens, anyone but Max.
The race.
Before we actually talk about the racing at Silverstone, I wanted to do a quick plug for the parade lap today, because it was awesome. It was really great fun.
We had a great time recording that. That's a brilliant show. And it's not on the feed. So if you listen to the podcast, you have to go to the website, sidepodcast.com, and click on the link on the left-hand side for Parade Lap and check it out, because it was really, really good today. Best bit of the show?
One really good bit is that we managed to call Scott, and Scott was at Silverstone.
A live link up from Side Podcast.
Yep.
Can we play a little bit of it now for anyone who hasn't caught it yet? Because it's absolutely brilliant. Wonderful. How is Excellent. It going, sir?
It's going absolutely fantastic. I'm outside the Santander, so I'm just inside waiting to go on the simulator. But yeah, this weekend's been fantastic so far. Yesterday was absolutely brilliant, and I'm really looking forward to the race. There's a huge Mercedes-Benz stand. I'll tell you something, Braun have got like three their merchandise stands within probably 400 metres of each other, and I'm not lying there. There's a lot of Hamilton merchandise as well, and McLaren stuff, but I would say there are a lot of people with Braun caps on, which I'm seeing. It's like everywhere I look, there's people with Braun caps and Mercedes caps on.
Scott, if you were going to pick one thing so far from the entire weekend that was your absolute favourite best thing, what is the best thing that you've seen this weekend?
I think the best thing was probably interviewing Nick and Kubica. I'll be honest, when I was interviewing Nick, he looked rather fed up. And also, because I saw him in the W Hospitality, they had a question-and-answer session with Kubica, Lee, and Barry Tyson. I hope I can sort out with this simulator. I'm going to do some more fan interviews. I've already done one. I'm going to do some more fan interviews. And then we're in Loughfield B.
Good spot.
Stand for the race. Also, I want to say thanks to the guys at Pure Motorsport, and you know, just to be just to thank me for this, you know, for this thing. It's an absolutely amazing experience, best experience of my life. So I have to say a massive thanks to Pure Motorsport for this.
We're going to let you go enjoy the simulator. Tell us all about it when you get back. Cheers, buddy.
All right, man. I've been more than happy to. Take care and enjoy the race, guys.
Thank you.
So that's edited highlights.
How fantastic was that?
Amazing.
I'd love to be able to do more of that. I don't know if anybody else is going to any races later this year, but if you take a phone with you, we will call you because we can.
Because we can.
That set up the afternoon for me. And really, how could the race live up to that?
Well, once again, it was like the cleanest start ever.
This is getting a bit repetitive.
I know.
Somebody crash on the first corner, please.
I think in the parade lap earlier, which everyone must go and listen to, like we just said, you wondered whether perhaps it was because DC isn't there anymore.
Yes. I don't know if that's really the reason, though.
Surely, it's a good reason.
Last year at Silverstone, Webber spun within, three corners from second position. This year, he just made it round. Not a problem.
Massa couldn't keep it in a straight line last year, but that's because it was raining.
I guess
today,
so.
It was all dry.
It's just disappointing. This race after race after race, nobody crashes, nobody has a pile-up. It was how many laps into the race? It was like halfway through the race before there was any kind of retirement whatsoever.
Well, yeah, but at the start, it was kind of interesting because there was a lot of people going forwards and backwards. Kers really made a difference for Kimi, which is bad timing, really, because everyone's giving up on their Kers devices. BMW have said, nope, no more.
Yep. Although I do wonder if that's not just a political statement on their part. I mean, they could, you know, there is an argument. Silverstone, it may not be the ideal circuit for Kers, but I do think that there is still an argument for using it. And I'm wondering if they're not actually deliberately trying to upset Max by publicly condemning this technology.
Button had a really poor start. Lou commented that perhaps he and Barrichello had switched cars because it's usually Rubens that has the trouble.
It was role reversal.
And Vettel romped off into the distance and that was it. He was gone.
By an absolute country mile. Talking of the iPhone app we discussed earlier today, you get an overview, a track map of what's going on. And you get a view that you don't get on television, you don't get on live timing. And it showed just how far Vettel was after a very small number of laps. He was almost half a lap ahead of anybody else. And he lapped Suttle before the first set of pit stops.
It was lap 18, I think.
Stunning pace that guy had. The Red Bull, whatever they've done to it, they've made some aero tweaks this week. They've brought some new bits to the car, and it's really, really made the difference. The triple diffuser didn't push them forward as much as they thought they would, but that combined with these new tweaks, really, that's a stunning bit of kit out there on that track.
Like you said, it was about halfway through that we saw any major incident, and that was Bourdais and Heike.
Who do you blame on that one?
I don't know. I don't blame either, really.
It was bizarre. The thing that was really peculiar, the event that kicked it off, the spark, if you like, was Heike pulling over to let Lewis through because Heike was ahead of him on strategy and Lewis had the lighter car. Now, given how the transition that Heike's had from Lewis this season, you could completely understand him wanting to keep Lewis behind him. Now, we don't know if there are any team orders, whether he just decided that...
Well, he said later that he didn't, and Hamilton just overtook because he had the faster car, the warmer tyres, and he was lighter on fuel.
I don't know.
It did look a bit suspicious.
He didn't struggle to defend that position, and as a result, he got caught out with Bourdais. I do think that Heike was weaving a little bit too much into the braking zone, and that caught Sebastian out because he lost downforce when he went for the brakes. So if I had to put blame on anyone, it'd probably be Heike, but it was a racing incident. It's a damn shame though, because Bourdais at the time was outracing Buemi and Heike was outracing Lewis, and therefore you had the number twos taking on the number ones in the teams, and that would have been a nice way to finish if that had happened. As it was, they took each other out, and I guess that's why they are the number twos, because you know when they are faster, they're a bit crazy.
Another interesting fact is that Piquet finished ahead of Alonso.
He did.
First time ever.
Oh my goodness, I missed that bit. Hmm. I missed that bit in the race.
I don't quite know how that happened either, but...
I'll tell you what I'm also amazed at is how badly Kimi did, considering he's, you know, where he started compared to Massa.
Well, he rocketed up to about fourth place, I think. And then by the end, Massa was in fourth and Kimi was back, I don't know, sixth or something.
Did the truly trained screw Kimi's strategy?
I guess it must have, but I didn't see it happening.
That's a bit of a shame. Hats off to Piquet. I didn't realise that was going on, but I loved the battle between Hamilton and Alonso. It was like 2007 all over again, but this time for 18th and 19th.
Yeah. Well, a lot of the battles were going on further back because we had Alonso trying to get past a BMW and Hamilton trying to get past a different BMW, and neither of them could do it, but it was great fun watching.
And hats off to the TV director for following that, because there was nothing to see up front, and Vettel didn't get a lot of TV time this afternoon, did he? He didn't see much of that car, but we did see all the battles down in midfield, and that was great directing. And I did love the Alonso then the Lewis battle, and I loved the BMW simply holding everybody up but never giving in.
Webber and Barrichello joined Vettel on the podium. That's two-thirds in a row at Silverstone for Barrichello.
That's good going, actually.
Yeah. Last time was all luck and strategy. This time it seemed a little bit more on merit.
He put in a great qualifying performance, and this time he got off the line as the Brawn GP car should do, as Jensen has managed to get it in, off the line in the past. And you know, there's been a lot of criticism for the way Rubens has been starting races, but this time he had a great start. Jensen unfortunately got boxed in and lost a few places, but Barrichello kept Webber at bay for his first stint, which was some great driving to do that, and then just lost that in the pit stops. But hats off to Rubens, he deserved to be on the podium there.
At the end, everyone that was at the front was actually a bit overshadowed by Button, who was chasing down Rosberg for fifth place.
Right.
And he couldn't do it, but he had such a fast car.
Yeah.
He was catching up about 2 seconds a lap.
I think we said in the comments it was Kimi-esque. Remember last year, Kimi couldn't string a qualifying lap together for nothing. And he only came good right at the end of the race when loads of rubber was laid down. I'm guessing it's something to do with tyre temperatures and the fact that the Brawn GP is so light on its tyres. It has the Ferrari problem from last year that when the track temperature drops significantly, it requires laps and laps and laps of rubber to give it any grip. But when Jensen found some, it made for a hell of an end to the Grand Prix.
The only other notable thing was that at the end, Hamilton did some donuts. That's not allowed, but awesome.
I don't care if it's not allowed. Every driver, I hope he set a precedent. I can see what he's doing for his MGP, but I would like to see more of that. We need more donuts. Everybody who has a home race, I think, if they've not finished in the top eight, why not? Why not just chuck in a couple of donuts?
In the comments, Amy's just said that there is still no sign of a penalty for his donuts, so she takes this as a sign that every driver can do it.
Oh, I like that thought.
There you go.
Yes. No, there should be no penalty. I'm sure the fans loved it. I wish they'd have shown more of it on television. They cut away from it a little bit too quickly, I thought. Presumably FOM didn't want to be seen to be encouraging it. And the TV director got a slap on the wrist for showing it, possibly. But with any luck, someone's got some fan footage, maybe from the grandstands or some photographs. Because go Lewis, really. I mean, good on him. And I'm glad that he did that. And let's see more of it.
Side Pod Tour.
Now, we've just covered the race, but actually we have to rewind a little bit to Friday and free practice, because at the last minute, we were invited to go to Silverstone as guests of Shell and Ferrari.
And what fun did we have?
It was the best day ever.
How did it start, though? We got off to such a rocking start, I think, for a Friday. I don't think many Fridays start better than ours this weekend.
Well, we were due to meet our hosts at Whittlebury Hall, which I think is the place where Stuart from F1 Racing does the quiz.
He did that on Saturday night, I believe.
Yeah.
Very, very posh hotel. Is it a hotel? Yeah, it must be.
Well, it's all kinds of things, like a park, and that's a camping area.
It's a spa.
Yeah. And we meandered about the hotel completely lost. We saw Kubica on his way out, and Glock was sitting in the reception area waiting for a car to come and pick him up.
We were supposed to meet the Shell people in the reception, and so we were just hanging out, passing the time, really shooting the breeze. And there's Glock about 10 foot away from
us. Doing the same thing.
Really, we were surrounded by well-dressed people in posh suits, so we couldn't get a photograph.
It wasn't exactly a tourist destination.
We would have got thrown out. However, it was good to spend some time in that. I like a Friday that starts with a meeting with Glock.
But as it turns out, we weren't supposed to be in reception at all. So we found our way to the meeting point, which was actually in the car park.
Yeah, not quite as grand.
No.
I like the idea of getting lost, though.
But we discovered we were along for the ride with F1 punter and Brits on Pole. Nice to meet people.
Shell are reaching out to bloggers. I think they did another session on Saturday with a whole other bunch of people. And I like what they're doing. Essentially, they're calling on people who have an internet presence, and they'll give them a chance to go to the Grand Prix and to promote Shell's products.
We journeyed to the track, although the minibus driver took the long way around, which was really annoying because we got stuck in unnecessary traffic and missed the start of free practice one.
That's side pod-esque.
Well done. We could have done that by ourselves.
We're good at turning up late and getting stuck in traffic. It was slightly annoying because for some reason he got lost and he really shouldn't have done when he had sat
there. There are many shortcuts you can take.
Yes.
And as a driver driving around Silverstone, you should know these things.
Absolutely. So a bit of a failure on that front.
However, we watched most of the free practice from COPS, which was good. We took some pictures. And then we went and met Stuart from Shell. Now, he was all kitted out in bright red Ferrari gear. You know, you needed sunglasses to actually look at him.
Proper Ferrari.
Yeah. And he took us across the bridge to the paddock. By the way, the bridge has been fixed.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. No longer is it rotten. It's new wood.
A pet peeve of yours since our very first visit to Silverstone.
I don't like walking across a track and worrying that I'm going to fall into the lap of someone as they drive underneath. Thankfully, Ferrari won the championship last year, so that meant we got to walk all the way through the paddock. Not like when we went, was it the Honda Tour, and they were right next to the bridge.
Biggest disappointment of the Honda Tour was it last year. They qualified, they finished the previous year in about the middle of the pack,
yeah.
And therefore they were right next to the bridge.
So we got a glimpse of the paddock and that was it.
Out of the bridge, into the garage, out of the garage, onto the bridge, and that was all we saw of the paddock. This time, pretty much walked the whole length of it.
Yeah, and we saw James Allen. which is always a good thing.
And also, ex-ITV Mark Blundell, he was there.
Yes.
Also, even going farther back than that, Mr. Tony Jardine wandering around.
He was there. Now, what was he doing there, I wonder?
I think he doesn't do the commentary on something like event television or something. Louise.
Good. We saw the BBC peeps. They were getting ready.
Yes.
And Jake and Lee
looked lovely up close.
Yeah, you did like to stop and take a picture.
She's lovely. I didn't realise she looked so nice, actually. It doesn't come across well on television, but she has nice skin. In addition, I bumped into RF1PP from the Renault blog. Yeah. Haven't seen him for a whole year.
He's your best friend.
Still remembered me.
Yeah, you shook his hand, didn't you?
I'm well impressed with that because, you know, we're not the most memorable bunch of people.
Well, you're not with your anonymousness.
Absolutely. I haven't spoken to him for a year. I haven't seen him for a year. And he still remembered me, which is really nice.
Very good.
Go so Renault.
After we'd finished hobnobbing in the paddock, we went into one of the Ferrari motorhomes. Now, Shell get a little corner of the motorhome, and they talked us through what they do.
Highly technical.
It was very technical.
Considering it's basically fuel.
Yeah, they prepare fuels, they test them, they submit them to the FIA for checking, and they make sure they're not contaminated and things. But we are going to talk about this a lot more next week.
Yeah, because it's going to need more than the time we have to dedicate it to it now. And they give us a lot of information, which we're going to look into, and we're going to do some experiments, and we're going to do some all sorts of exciting things related to fuels.
Sidepod science.
Yeah, it's hard to make petrol sound exciting, but hey, we're going to do our best.
We did it with KERS, so.
That's true. So do watch out next week for lots of petrol excitement.
We went through to the Ferrari garage and had a nose around as the teams stripped the cars between the two free practice sessions. Stuart was talking to us, but we could barely hear him because of the GP2 nonsense going on. He said it'd be a lot easier if there weren't all those cars going around.
Those pesky racing machines. How annoying. How inconsiderate whilst we're trying to learn.
The only useful thing I picked up was the fact you have to be really careful when you go to the anti-clockwise tracks that you bring the right parts, otherwise you're stuck with no access to the fuel tank because it's on the wrong side.
That would be a problem, yes. Yeah. In the comments, by the way, Gavin said petrol is exciting, so we might have to take some tips, Gavin, for next week.
Then, once we were done in the garage, we were making our way back to the paddock and we met Rob.
Yes. Now, at first, I walked past him because I didn't recognise him. I wasn't entirely convinced.
I think perhaps you noticed because I was staring at him.
You looked mouth agog. So, figuring this was the one and only chance this side podcast is ever going to get to meet Mr. Smedley, I did introduce him to you.
You're so brave.
Hi, Rob. Meet Christine. She sings a song about you. She was on the radio with her song. You heard the song. Then your wife, Lucy, left a nice comment on our website.
He had no idea. But then actually it only took him a minute. And I think when you said his wife left some comments,
yes,
then it suddenly clicked in his brain. He was like, oh my God, the song. And I was like, this is the most embarrassing moment of my whole life. And he said not to be embarrassed. And I had a good voice. And he'd got a lot of feedback about the song.
He had 500 and something emails telling him about Felipe Baby.
Yeah.
Which is fan-blooming-tastic. And he took it absolutely, you know, he took it very well. He took it in the spirit in which it was intended. He didn't throw us out of the paddock, which he might well have done. And the coolest thing, the thing that was amazing was when I first started speaking to him, wasn't at all nervous, wasn't really bothered, said, hi, Rob, Christine, Rob. But as we continued talking to him, he got cooler in my eyes.
Yeah. Well, then we said to him, we just want to thank you for making Formula One more enjoyable, because since we can hear your radio, the relationship between you and Massa is really nice, refreshing. It's a good thing to see
it
in Formula One.
It makes a big difference to us watching at home. It's you know, because Formula One can get very, it can turn, you know, some kind of navel-gazing contest, and it becomes very inward and very corporate. And I like the fact that Felipe and Rob have this relationship, which is more open and more fun. It makes Ferrari more human.
Yeah, well, he said he gets letters from the kids, he called them, saying that Ferrari used to be faceless, but now they enjoy it more and, you know, he makes Ferrari more accessible. So that's good.
We've noticed that and it makes a big difference to our viewing. So we told him.
Yeah. And then we took a photo and then he kissed me on the cheek.
Twice.
And then he left. I wished him good luck for the race and he said they'd need it, yes. Which they didn't really, as
he
it turns out.
He is lovely.
He's awesome.
I was literally, bizarrely, I was more nervous talking to him at the end of the conversation than I was at the beginning. It got progressively more scary.
Because he's nice.
He's that cool. He's just, you know, an amazingly kind and very nice guy, and he had plenty of time for us. And if you got time tomorrow, listen to BBC Tees, because he's going to be on the Lisa McCormick show at some point Monday afternoon. And just listen to what he's got to say, because he's a good chap and he's a smart chap and he's changing the face of Ferrari.
Clearly, we needed time to recover from meeting Rob. So we were ushered into the Ferrari hospitality bit and we had some pasta. as you would expect.
Absolutely. The security guy from that a lot of people dislike inside podcast comments, he was in the ITV video end of season video.
Oh, yeah. And he's seen quite a lot in the coverage, isn't he?
Yeah, we see him in the Ferrari garage a lot. He was in there. Sadly, he's too big to punch. I wanted to say, by the way, no one in the comments likes you, sir, and certainly not as much as Rob. Can't you be more like Rob? But he's a really big guy.
So yeah, I didn't. You didn't. We met Lisa from Shell, and she talked about octanes and things.
Yes.
Technical things.
More complicated things again next week.
Yep. And we talked to Dave. I think it was Dave. I'm 90% sure his name was Dave. Everyone knows someone called Dave, so it must have been.
Righty-ho.
But he was really nice.
I hope he's not listening. We did say tune in live on Sunday night. This could be a problem.
Yeah. No, but he was really nice, and he was more about the road car fuel side of things. And again, we'll talk about that more next week.
I can't wait for next week's show. It sounds like it's going to be really exciting. We're going to be talking about road fuel with a guy we don't know. And an octane.
His name's Dave, I'm telling you.
An octane with Ferrari.
Okay, fine. It will be good. After that, we went back through the paddock and we bumped into Joe.
We did. What are the chances? Let's be honest. He was.
We've talked to Joe every week.
Yeah.
So far this season.
Since the beginning of the season.
And we've never met him until now.
We just bumped into him. He was standing in the middle of the paddock. Actually, weren't you quite shocked?
Well, he was talking to Simon Gillette.
Yes, of Donington Ventures Leisure Limited.
But I didn't realise that at the time. And so you said, excuse me, Simon, I just want to talk to Joe, because we were on a short time.
Really, really short time. We had about 30 seconds to talk to Joe.
So you pushed, well, you didn't push him physically, but you barged into the conversation between Joe and Simon.
Yes.
Simon Gillette of Donington fame.
Yeah. What I liked is you didn't even know he was and weren't slightly bothered.
But then afterwards I found out. I can't believe it.
Yeah, we did. We interrupted the conversation. And apologies to Joe also, because he might have been talking about something really important.
He could have been getting the scoop and you ruined
it. And Simon decided to wander off after we introduced ourselves. But it was good to meet him. It was good. He now knows who we are. We obviously know what he looks like because he's in GP Plus every week. But and that's how we recognise him. But he's met us. And that's fantastic. Again, what are the chances?
We were holding everyone up again. So Stuart had to come and grab us because he needed our paddock passes for the next group. So we crossed the bridge again. And we had a bit of time before free practice too. So we decided to loiter around the entrance to the media bit, as you
do. It's right there. Actually, didn't we buy ice creams? We were just eating the ice creams.
That's true.
That's what we were doing. We weren't loitering. We don't loiter.
We were loitering with our ice creams. And we saw a whole host of other people. But perhaps these are not quite so good name drops, because these are all the media people that we like, but others may not find so fascinating.
I think they're worth dropping. Drop away.
Okay. We saw Jason Swales. He is the Radio 5 Live producer. And we met him last time at the Honda Dreamfields thing and had a chat with him then.
We put his video on the site earlier this year.
He's become a racing driver.
He did his ARDS test at Silverstone not so long ago. And then he took part in a race recently, but I forget what it was. Actually, he was at Silverstone again, but I'm not quite sure what the race was.
He said there's another video due for around the German Grand Prix time.
I think whatever he was doing in that race, he took part in two races. And the first one he didn't do so well, and the second one he did much better. But as soon as it's released, we'll put it on the site.
We bumped into David Croft, who does the commentary for Radio 5 Live. And the first thing he said, there was no hellos or anything. He was like, did you sing Felipe, baby? Yes. Yes, I did. Now, apparently, he had a bet going between him and Holly Samos. She didn't think it was me. He thought it was.
Yes.
And he was right.
And she sent it to him originally. I don't know where she found it. She must have passed on to her.
Went to quite a lot of places.
At least 500 people, according to Rob. I love it. I heart David Croft. I think he's
you really
ace.
Do. Do you know what is funny? Is we met him for about 5 minutes and he swore twice. And then he goes on air for an hour and a half. No swearing at all. It's amazing.
I don't know how he does that. That's incredible. But yeah, he recognised your voice from singing Felipe, baby, and he knew it was you.
But he was in a rush because he had to go into the commentary box. I think he had about 10 minutes to spare, so leaving it late like we do.
Yeah, he was going into FP2. And bizarrely, as he went into the TV compound to run up to the commentary boxes, which are on the opposite side of the track to the pits, Ted of Ted News fame. He came out of the TV compound to cross the bridge to go over to the pits.
Yes.
So they did a big swap.
Yes. Now you, by this point, you're feeling really brave. I mean, you've talked to all the producers on the BBC and you've talked to Rob.
And met Joe.
Yep.
RF1PP.
Yeah, you're feeling really brave. So you said, I'm going to go and shake Ted's hand and tell him what a wonderful job he's doing.
So I did.
And you did.
What was really weird, and I don't know whether I should mention this, but because I have this affinity with Ted, you see now, because we know.
What?
Yeah, no, because what I did was, and what I never ever really do, is I introduced myself. I said, I'm from Soy Podcast, and I gave my real name.
Now,
I did, but it's okay to tell Ted. Because, you know, we share this thing with the man, and I thought it was okay.
What do we share with the man?
The fact that we might know his...
Well, we know his name, he knows your name.
Absolutely.
Right.
But I did say, I'm from Sci Podcast, and we're really, really pleased that you decided to make the jump to BBC, because we would have missed you, and we would have left a big hole in our Formula One experience, and we're really glad that you've gone to BBC. And what I didn't mention is we now tune into Radio 5 Live, because Jonathan Ledyard is a big...
Did you tell him that he has his own jingle on the podcast?
No, I didn't.
Dead news.
No, but I did shake his hand, and then he had to run off to FP2.
We watched FP2 from Luffield, took some more pictures, and then it was time to go home, and we made a quick pit stop on the way back into the SRC building, because we spent money on passes to get in there.
Sore subject for me.
Yeah.
Last year, we bigged up the Silverstone Racing tickets. I think they were £99.
It's about £100, isn't it?
For a year's passes, which gets you into a whole bunch of races, and they also get you into the paddock during F1 testing. So happy was I with our investment last year that I went straight ahead and renewed my subscription at Christmas, and then in January... Formula One testing was banned.
Yeah.
And so they've been sat in a drawer. But you bought a packet of crisps.
I used the facilities and got a packet of crisps. Now that is worth anyone's £100, I tell you.
£99 for a packet of crisps.
Yeah.
We did see Fraggle in there.
We did,
we spoke
Fraggle
to last year, so hello to Fraggle. It's good to catch up with her again. That was pretty much our day, wasn't it?
That was it. Then we made our way home back on the minibus through the traffic. And then it was it.
Jobs are good. Much enjoyed. As we said, more on Shell. I think, when are we going to talk about Shell? Is it next week?
I think it might be next week.
Okay, we might be talking more about them next week. But thank you to everybody who helped us make it to Silverstone on Friday, because we weren't expecting it. We really thought we'd boycott the whole event because we don't believe in paying the prices that they're charging. It doesn't seem like value for money to us. But if we're not paying, we're up for it.
Dropio is a place for people to get together and share links, files, images and audio. Visit drop.io/typepodcast for Formula One related submissions gathered by us and you to share with other like-minded individuals. If you've found something that you think we should see, be it an Excel spreadsheet, a PDF document or an embed from another site, post it to dropio/typepodcast. And while you're there, take a look around. There's always something new.
Fantasy Razors.
In fifth place, Scott's on speed with 6215. Fourth is Brauntastic with 6415. Third is Celtic Racing, 6667. Second, Demigods of Aeon, 6694. And first, Couch Potato with 7239. I didn't get to change my team this week because we were out and about gallivanting around. I am 88th, which is down from 82nd last week. So I don't think that's too bad considering... I'd completely forgotten who I have.
Yeah, we got slightly sidetracked, I think,
yeah.
On the fantasy races front. So you basically raced with whoever you had for Turkey.
Yeah, you are 308th, which is up from 325th last week. I think this might be the first time you've gone up.
Don't try and make me feel better for my lowly 300th position.
Well, if that doesn't make you feel better, I did have an email a while ago from Dave, which I think is a different Dave to the Shell Dave.
Not to confuse anybody.
No. He said, hey, Christine and ? I think that must be you. I thought I'd drop a message to say hi, having now established myself as a credible listener after moving up to fifth place in the SciPodcast Fantasy League. Rather than focus on a political news topic, of which there are many to choose from, I thought I'd just send out a message of hope to those other Fantasy League racers who haven't bothered getting into the buy-sell-buy trading floor tactic that is apparently the only way to win in the Fantasy League this season. I have not subscribed to this diehard fashion of working your way to the top and relied on nothing more but hard gut instinct. After Australia, I was placed 770th, then Malaysia 528th, Chinese GP 308th, that's the same as you, Bahrain 139th, Spanish 137th, Monaco 30th, and now 17th overall after Turkey.
What?
He's made his way up. So good has my gut been that, dare I say, I have caught up with the likes of Brauntastic and I'm ready to lay my instincts on the line against the might of the Excel Power spreadsheet. Cheers and keep up the great podcasts, Dave.
That is fantastic.
So there you
Dave.
Go.
Talk about inspiration. Look at that climb. 770, 528, 308, 139, 137, small jump, 30th, and now 70. That cannot be right. That's incredible.
17th after Turkey. Gavin's done his usual sterling work at doing some fantasy racer statistics on his Making Up the Numbers blog, and we'll put a link in the show notes as usual. There were just a couple of things I noticed that are worth pointing out. Vettel is miles ahead for this race because he got pole, fastest lap, and the win, which is what we said last time about Button as well. So it really makes the difference.
That's what you got to get. You got to get the pole sitter. You got to have the pole sitter. And when they get all three, you're well in the boxes, aren't you? But Dan Webber.
It will be interesting to see what happens when there's a race where someone doesn't get all three. Gavin also does a graph of the drivers' points per million, which is kind of tricky because their value goes up and down a lot. But he sets it at the Friday deadline.
Okay.
Because that is a cutoff point for
Understood.
The drivers. And Rosberg apparently leapt up to second place behind Button. He is getting the most points for his price after his good work this weekend.
And that makes him expensive this week, presumably.
I think he probably will be.
Hello, Christine and Mr. C. This is Dan Burnell from the West Coast of America. You know, I've got to stand up for USGPE just for a little bit, or excuse me, USF1. I don't know what the heck they're calling themselves now. Even before this whole FOTA FIA war started, they were on schedule to be in there, and now they're kind of jumped in with the rest of these quote-unquote paper tigers, as you like to call them. And it kind of brings up another point. I can't believe Max and the FIA would be stupid enough to start an entire civil war in Formula One, which they're trying to do with the teams, over four grid spots. If you think about it, with USGPE next year, we would have had 11 teams on the grid, 22 cars. And I believe the FIA regulation, Steve Roy can correct me if I'm wrong, is 13 teams on the grid, period, 26 cars. So we're fighting over four spots on the grid. I know Max, it's more than that. Max is fighting over trying to get control of people's wallets and all that, but with that kind of in mind, just on the grid itself, it's absolutely ridiculous what's going on, and it gets me disheartened. I just wish there would be a day that the sport could just get everything right, and it's only about the racing for an entire year. Anyhow, I hope everything's going well, and take it easy to everybody inside podcast land. Bye.
In the comments, Stephen Roy said 13 teams is correct.
Yes. I can see what Dan raises a very, very good point. If you look at it in the hermetically sealed bubble that it currently is, then what you're talking about is a very small amount of grid spots. The problem is these arguments have been boiling over for the last 10, 15 years, and they've all come to a head again. And even if people get pacified and, you know, there's a compromise, it's agreed in the next couple of weeks, what's going to happen is it's all going to boil over again next year or the year after or the year after that. So much better, I think, to live through it and to put up with these arguments in the hope that when something gets sorted, it will finally be sorted and the people who will get what they want. So it is over four grid spots at the moment, but what we're really looking at is a bigger argument about the long-term viability of the sport.
It's kind of like the straw that broke the camel's back.
These arguments flare up every now and again, and they have been doing since Bernie took control of the sport in the early 80s, and they're going to keep exploding the way they do until revenues are distributed fairly and rules are made transparently.
This show seems to be all about people going out and about and having fun at racetracks. And we've got a voicemail from RG who's done just that, but it's not Silverstone.
On Inside Podcast, RG here. Just like to talk about Croft, which I went to last week for the touring cars. You know, I talked about it, I think, back in January. Talk about problems with the Croft and that. And I think nowadays it looks very promising because there's loads of turnout there. It seems to be very popular nowadays. And it was really good as well. The touring cars were great. I enjoyed it. Apart from Weather Mini when it absolutely chucked it down near the end, which was, well, I may have been a bit unprepared for from the start. But got loads of picks for it. You can see it on my blog. Went over to waffle.blogspot.com. Look out of the way, as you do. But I think Croft now, good position. I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be safe now. I don't think it's in any trouble. I think that should be the case. I don't know if there's been any more legal cases against it. But I really do hope it stays, and I think it will stay. Apart from that, do I really sound like Fisichella? Cheers.
Who said he sounded like Fisichella?
I can't remember who said it, but during one of the practice sessions, or maybe in qualifying, Fisichella was on the radio to his engineer. Ah. And someone said, that sounds like RG, which was kind of random.
No, I think it was because it was quite a clipped conversation. It was very short. What he said was important, but he wasn't verbose and didn't go on and on about whatever. Pretty much the opposite of Jensen, I think. Just to reiterate the URL, I don't know if it really came through clearly on the voicemail, but it's thenorthernwaffler.blogspot.com.
My final voicemail is from Paul, who had a timely message for me, so it's already a little bit out of date, but it's worth playing now.
Hello, Side Podcast. Paul from Australia here. Just wanted to call and say happy birthday to Christine. Hope you had a great day. That Mr. C bought you a nice cake and maybe even a panda. Look forward to hearing you both over the weekend and hopefully back to some racing and away from the politics for a while. Cheers. See you later.
I did not get a panda.
You didn't get a cake either.
Where's my panda?
What about your cake?
I got Milky Bars, eh?
That's what you wanted?
Yeah.
That's all you could possibly ever ask for. What do you get the girl who has everything? Milky Bar. That's the answer to the perennial question. I figured it out. Thank you, Paul. Good to hear from you again. Much appreciated. And yes, we saw some racing today. Sadly, it was peppered with politics.
Isn't it always? I have had a few emails this week, but I think what I'm going to do is save them because it's been a bit of a bumper show already.
The thing is, we asked for more emails, so you cannot complain.
I'm not complaining, but I'm saving them up for a non-racing weekend.
Okay, so if anybody has any more thoughts or questions and they wish to email you, what do they have to do?
The email is christine@sidepodcast.com, but if you want to leave us a voicemail, the number is 012128TRACK. That's 012128-87225, or you can search for Side Podcast on Skype.
Great voicemails we've had this week, and also thanks to was it Jordan we played on the Parade Lap earlier today? Thank you for his predictions. And if you've got any more predictions that you want to leave us before the next Grand Prix, please do so on the voicemail, and we'll try and fit those in on the Parade Lap too. Housekeeping. A couple of things to mention on the website that we've been working on the last couple of weeks. We've got the Newbies Guide, something you've created for anyone who's come along to Side Podcast recently. We've had a lot of de-lurkers in the comments of late, which is great stuff. We like people coming out of the woodwork and saying, hey, I'm listening, and I'm listening, and I'm liking what's going on. Or if you don't like what's going on, just jump out into the comments and tell us what you'd like to see change. But the cool thing is, with the Newbies Guide, it's a great introduction of all the... it's almost like a step-by-step guide of all the things that's for getting the most out of Side Podcast.
I actually had an email about it this week. It says, Dear Ms. and Mr. C, greetings from Texas, Dallas to be exact. The only real comment I have about your quick start guide is, why wasn't this available several months back when I first started listening to the podcast? It took me months to work out these details. Anyway, I just wanted to say that I love your podcast. It's rather difficult to find informative blogs and podcasts here in the States. Both your podcast and website have opened up worlds of information and provided hours of laughs. Keep up the good work. And if I ever have a valid opinion on F1, I've only been following for a few years, I'll see you two in the comments. Cheers, Josh. Well, Josh, I've only been following for a couple of years too, so every opinion is valid.
I think so. And thank you for that, Josh. And please do de-lurk, as many other people have been doing this past couple of weeks, because we really like it. We like it. We like to know how many people are following. And if you have any thoughts, no matter how small or how significant you may think them to be, please do leave us a comment on sidepodcast.com, because we love them. And talking of commenting, we've got a few new options for anybody who wishes to join us in the live comments but maybe doesn't have the latest generation of computer or browser. We have a new simplified real-time page, which is very, very basic and doesn't have all the fancy reply options, but it will work on most mobile phones. I think Dank asked us a while ago if he could have access to SciPodcast on his mobile, and that's what we've created. You can join in the comments, you can join in the discussions, and you can take part by going to SciPodcast.com/real-time/mobile, and that's equivalent of real-time.
It looks just the same, but is a little bit streamlined.
It's very, very small. If you've got a low bandwidth connection, or if you've got a capped connection on your mobile phone, it's the perfect thing. It doesn't download very much data. I think you only get the last 10 comments, but you can leave us your thoughts, and you can see what other people are. You can keep refreshing throughout the day and see what other people are saying. The other thing is, you can also use it at the race. If you've got an old mobile phone, you can take it to the Grand Prix and have your own little live commenting system in your pocket. And don't forget, if you haven't already checked out the Parade Lap, if you didn't join us live before the race, it's still available for replay on the website, sidepodcast.com. At the moment, it's on the homepage, and it should be on there for another couple of days. If not, just go back. There's a link actually on the left-hand side. Click Parade Lap and check out the latest one, because they're blooming brilliant. And thank you to Alex for taking part, and thank you to everybody for joining us before the race gets started on a Sunday.
So I think that's it for this show. Next week is going to be a bumper edition. We've got all the good Shell stuff, lots of fuel talk, plus plenty of feedback. Don't forget, the number is 012128TRACK if you want to get your voice on the show. And we'll see you then.